You're all ready? Okay, let's dig in. Psalm 119, it's actually a song. If you can imagine somebody singing this, how long it would take, is broken up in 22 sections, conveniently. That's the letters of the alphabet for Hebrew. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew language. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Thankfully, we have it translated in English. It makes it much more interesting for us, right? But trying to teach it the way it's organized by the Hebrew alphabet is a difficult thing to do. It loses itself somewhere in the translation, the organization of it, being an acrostic, which means A for apple, B for boy, C for cat. You're doing a teaching based on the alphabet. So there's 22 paragraphs in here, 8 verses each, covering the alphabet. And in this case, it's the aleph bet. The Hebrew word for A is aleph, and the Hebrew word for B is beth. And you can see those if you have a Bible that I would think all the Bibles have that. The very first word there says aleph. Does anybody not have that? I would think all the translations have that. Aleph, then the next paragraph, or beginning of verse 9, is beth. We're going to cover those two today, aleph and beth, the aleph beth. 22 symbols of the Hebrew language. Very powerful. I spent a lot of time just looking at each letter. The symbols are next to them and how, you know, the actual letter, the design of it, the print, they actually mean something. So we could spend a lot of time talking technically about all of this, the language, and it's very beautiful, but it's also very complex and rich, and I don't think we can give it what it deserves. So we're going to treat it a little bit different and simply teach the word as it is, translated for us, but mention some of these things in passing. If I were to take the whole of Psalm 119 and bring it into one word, that word would be balance. Balance. There you have 176 some odd verses that boil down to one word, balance. In particular, what's being balanced here is the Word of God and the God of the Word. Aleph, the first word, the first letter of the alphabet. In teaching these psalms, in teaching these songs, the acrostic is a teaching tool. So the paper was very expensive. They didn't have the luxury of everybody having a Bible and you got three Bibles on your left and five on the right. That wasn't the case back then. It was precious to have even a fragment or a page of paper, you know, something to work with. So memorization was where it was all at, to teach them the music so they could remember the Word of God, to teach them the acrostic, the ABCs, so they can remember the Word of God. Very important. So the first word here would be aleph, and the way it's organized, very interestingly, the whole thing is organized that way. So the first word in each of those 8 verses all begins with A. It's really cool, and it goes that way through the whole thing. It's very difficult to find the Hebrew word, the right translation that puts that word first, because to make it even more complicated, the Hebrew reads the other direction from right to left. So you get kind of like, wow, this is crazy. So we lose that teaching tool here, but I will mention some of these things. And one of the first word there that is accurately in the first word is blessed, and that is the word Asher. And he was just up here. He's a little boy. He's soon to be 5 years old, right? Believe it or not. But Asher, that's that name. That's one of the 12 of the sons of Jacob. One of the names, and he was named a biblical name. But that name means happy, blessed. On the balance of that, we're also going to look at the word blessed in the Beth word, the B word, which means to break. And that comes from verse 12, where it says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord." That doesn't mean happy art thou, Lord. That's a different word. So we're going to get to that in a minute here. But first of all, Asher. Asher in particular, the little boy here, my grandson, it was a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, he was over at the house. I was doing the grand sitting, and we were looking for things to do on a cold day. So I brought in an old snowboard, one of those things, kind of like a skateboard for the snow. And I had this the cylinder thing that I'd roll my back out on. And so we put that, and we were balancing on that. It became like a teeter-totter. He really took to it. Asher loved it. He was entertained for minutes, which is like hours for a kid. And he loved it. He was up there, and he was doing really good. He could really balance on it. So the light bulb goes off, and I'm over on Amazon ordering, his Christmas present there to get him a balance board, one that was a little safer that has stops and doesn't go flying and hurt his sister with. But so the idea of balance came not only from that vision and that experience, but from Psalm 119 here, because all through it, you see the word of God being emphasized. And you see that manifest when it talks about the commandments. It talks about the precepts. What are they? Statutes, it says. It talks about the law of God, the judgments of God, and all these things. All that has to do with the word of God. To boil it right down, we'll get into the technical meanings of these things, but the word of God is what it boils down to. Then infused in all of this, you have the God of the word. Okay, so there's a balance there. When we have an imbalance of these two, we are imbalanced as believers. When it's all about the word of God, it's about the word of God, and word of God, word of God. That's good, but you have the God of the word revealing to you things and speaking with you. Do you have time with him? You were talking about that. Rest was brought up today. The Selah, the word Selah. The Holy Spirit speaking through his bride this morning. You heard it. That's God speaking, by the way. It's God speaking through his bride. I look forward to it. I'm the one taking notes while you guys are doing the sermon in the morning. That's because God is speaking. I'm listening for it. That's the God of the word, giving us the word of God. If it's all the God of the word, and you're detached from the scripture, you're detached from the written word, and it's all God, and I heard God, and I felt God, and I dreamed this, and and it's like, well, that's not even scriptural, dude, you know? And it's like what's happening? You're gone astray with some delusion, okay? So there's a balance there. There's a blessing. There's an Asher. There's a happiness when we have balance with the two. Mm-hmm. Asher happens. Blessing happens. So this first word, blessing, begins with Aleph, and it means happy. That's that the joy that we have. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Now these first two sections here balance nicely the word of God and the God of the word. In particular, Aleph, the first section, the first eight verses, kind of bring to us the idea of the word of God. And the Beth, the second eight verses, bring us the God of the word quite distinctly. So it's a good balance right off in the beginning here. So I'm going to read right through to verse 16, then we're going to break that out. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. His commands, precepts, all the word of God. O thou, my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Again, the word of God. That shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes or forsake me not utterly. This first section, a lot to do with the word of God. We can kind of relate the word of God to the laws that are in our country, in our land, quite a bit. We have laws everywhere we go. We see things that are posted that indicate there's a law. Tell us how to drive, how fast to drive. But some of these things here even talk about deeper things, like judgments, for example. If you're involved in a court case and they refer to a former court case, so-and-so against versus so-and-so, there was a judgment made in the past, and the judge will refer to that. What's happening here is the psalmist is talking about the judgments of God, the things that God has made decisions over in the past and in the present and in the future. You know, God has judged the future. We see that in the book of Revelation. We know God has already judged this world. Daddy was talking about that. God has already judged this world. And she said as she's reading Isaiah 60, but God, there's this darkness, but God has a plan. But God is bringing the light. But God. So he's made judgments, and in that judgment, he's bringing actions. He's bringing his command. He's bringing his word. Continuing to read here, now as we get into that second letter, Beth, B, we're going to see now the emphasis transition to the God of the Word, the balance coming up. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. Listening up, hearing the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. By the way, if you just want to take a peek at the very last verse of Psalm 119, all right, this is a spoiler for you. Verse 176 of Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. God, find me. I don't even know where I am. Sam Martin, Kelsey's cousin, posted something on Facebook I thought was interesting. He said, you know, that time between Christmas and New Year's, I don't know where I am sometimes, who I am, or why I am. There's just this strange, you know, zone that you're in between the two holidays, and especially when they fall in the midweek like that. We don't know what day it is. It's a strange kind of experience. But it's the psalmist here is saying, God, find me. Something's gone astray. I don't know. I've lost my bearings. God, find me. Kind of an interesting prayer, isn't it? But just to set the stage here, in all of this, this is the human condition. Everybody should realize that this is all of us. This is all of us, that we wander. We go astray. That's why we need to be together. Yeah. It's so important not to forsake the assembly. That we need to be together. We need to meet together. Even if we don't like each other, we need to meet. You know, we really do. And that's okay. You know, if have different personalities, and some personalities might not get along with other personalities. And I think God does that on purpose sometimes. And I know he does. That he'll bring people that are very diverse and allow us to be able to unconditionally love. So, All through this balancing out, we're getting in the Word of God and following this God. We need to realize that all of us, at any moment, at any time, we can go astray. We can wander. Mm-hmm. We can wander. Maybe because it's the busyness of the season, whatever it is, or something internally or something physically, we can wander. We can wander. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. That is not a random prayer. That's a prayer of reality. We all wander. And then we shake our heads and say, oh, she's not Christian. Oh, he's not Christian. I wander. You wondering about that? I wander. I wonder, I need to pray this just as earnestly as you do or the next person does. 30 years saved, 40 years saved, 3 minutes saved. I need to pray this prayer all the time. Lord, find me where I'm at. I'm not even sure where I'm at. I'm not sure what day it is. Lord, find me. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes, your word. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect upon thy ways. Precepts, statutes, testimonies, judgments, all the word of God. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. When you have the Ten Commandments given to a nation and a people like this, you have the law of God, then from that you can imagine all of these things, these statutes, these testimonies, judgments, all of that just branching out from that. Okay, so that's the idea here, and that's the important concept to get when all these different words are used about the Word of God. Okay, so let's see these two, Alpha and Beth, balanced with each other. The first idea I already introduced to you was the idea of Asher, blessed, meaning happy. And that's on the side of the Word of God. We're blessed when we walk in the law of the Lord. We're blessed when we keep His testimonies. We're blessed. We're happy. And on the other side of the equation, on the Beth, the blessed, God is blessed. God, He's adored. We're breaking towards Him. We're adoring Him. God is blessed when we love Him. And you see that expressed here in the meditation, the rejoicing, the delighting that's happening here. So adoring God. Two words balancing each other. One is having to do with the Word of God. We're happy as we're putting ourselves in that way of following Him. And we're blessing God. We're adoring Him. We're worshiping. We're loving the lover of our souls, the God of the Word. So there's a balance there. One is being in love, and one is loving going forward, and that's the obedience, the continual loving. One kind of speaks of romance, excitement. My nephew, Gretchen's nephew, sister's son there, Michael John, just very recently was jumping out of a plane and decided that would be his way of proposing in the middle of the air. So, you know, that's that in love stuff, and that we love that. We love to watch movies about that. We love to hear stories about that. That's the very exciting stuff. It makes life very interesting. That's the in love. That's the adoration of somebody. It's very powerful, by the way. The Word of God speaks to a different thing. That speaks to the loving continually. That's the obedient love. That's that daily stuff. That's when you're not jumping out of airplanes. That's the everyday stuff and through the thick and thin stuff. So that's the enduring love. And both bring great balance, by the way. One doesn't let go and the other starts up. Both should be in balance, by the way. You should have both. You should have be in love and be loving in your relationships and your relationship with God. Could you imagine if I came home one day and Gretchen had her earbuds on, or her iBuds, whatever. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? Shh. I'm like, okay. You know, give her 5 minutes and come back and, tap her on the shoulder. No, this is a really good part. And so, what are you listening to? You. I'm listening to your sermon from, 4 months ago. And this has never happened, by the way, but it would be really cool. But there'd be something strange about that. Do you see the imbalance there? What's being imbalanced? It's the Word of God is being exalted, and then the God of the Word, now relating to my relationship with her, it's like I'm being neglected. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
It's like, man, I love this. This teaching's great, and all this stuff, and God's tapping us on the shoulder, wanting to spend time with us. So the risk of being out of balance or neglecting both. We see in verse 8, being forsaken, having that separation happen between you and the Lord. And then verse 10, on the other side of the coin, that being neglected, not adoring God in your life, not having that romantic, being in love with God, wandering. You start to wander. You start looking at the grass being greener. somewhere else. That love, that romantic love for the Lord, what you would die for Him. Man, when you're in love, you fantasize about dying for your bride. Isn't that cool? You know, Gretchen doesn't like to hear that, but I tell her that sometimes. I still do. I still tell her that. I was like, because I'll hear a story. Paging mom. I'll hear a story where, you know, there was a story in Owasco Lake where this guy, man, ultimate, you know, his wife was drowning. And she hates the story, but I love it because
it was a stranger.
It was a stranger?
Yeah.
Was a stranger?
On that rock? Did you talk about the story on that
rock? No, this was a boating issue where...
Oh, okay. There's a better story.
All right, I'll let you share it. All right, how about that? So she's having trouble in the water. He gets out, and I probably don't have the details. It's kind of murky. But he ends up, you know, giving his last ounce of strength to push her up on the boat. And then he slips away and dies. Awesome! Man, I don't want to go in a nursing home. I want to go like that. That's awesome. Like dying for your bride, laying your life down. That's exactly what Christ did. That's everything. That's what it's about. It's about being in love. That's the romance that I want to have alive every day. To be ready to die for your bride. That's being in love. We most identify that, you know, before the vows. We most identify with that being in love. We learn the other half of that, a balance, usually on the other side of the vows, but they both need to be in balance, both sides of the equation, giving respect to that person and being in love with that person. You could kind of look at on the horizontal as far as relationships go. And we see that in verse 6 and 7. On the side, the Word of God column. If you're making two columns today, we're probably going to stick with that for a while here in Psalm 119. The Word of God in one column, the God of the Word in another column. You have blessed on the left side with Asher, and you have blessed from verse 12 on the God of the Word side, adoring God, being in love with God, the romantic love of the obedience being on the left side. The respect being on the left side, and we see that in verse 6 and 7. The respect and learning, wanting to spend time, the respect and wanting to get to know that person and how they think and how they feel. So we see that in verse 6 and 7. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Wanting to know everything about that person, and that, you know, even if they have a quirk, not dismissing that, and making fun of them or putting them down because of they have something that you think is, why are you making this a big deal? What's wrong with you? And all of that stuff. And putting them down because they don't fit exactly in your mold. Having respect for that person, having respect for God, all His commandments, is part of that side of the balance. And verse 7 also speaks to that. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. The Bible talks about dwelling with your wife in knowledge. There's a learning process. Now you're getting to know this person, learning about them. The good, the bad, and the indifferent, everything about them. That's a proper place of loving that person, is learning about them. Discovering. So verse 6 and 7, speaking to that. On the other side of the balance, the in love, verse 11, speaks to revelation, relationship. Verse 11, thy word have I hid, where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. So going now, kind of consummating the learning process, hiding in your heart these things. Not just like somewhere back in your head or you got in a notebook somewhere. You're hidden it in your heart, these things. That's adoring God. That's being in love. You've hidden it in your heart. It's like you saw that thing. You saw the child playing on that little thing, and it just you hid it in your heart. You hid it. There's something like, I'm going to bless that person. You saw that need, and you've got that love going on. You're in love. I've hid in my heart, verse 11. So as far as our relationship with God, this speaks a lot to revelation. Are your ears open to hearing God speak to you? Even when you open the Bible, are you in there wanting and desiring, God, speak to me? Or are you just in there to learn? Both need to be happening. Both need to be in balance. Lord, teach me. Lord, I want to hide these things in my heart because I love you. Speak to me. I want to really hear you. Speak through your word to me. Are your ears open when people were speaking today and the bride of Christ was speaking? Are you listening for God because you love him and believe that something supernatural is happening? It happens all the time. Don't miss it. It's awesome. I get excited about it. It's the highlight of church for me is hearing you guys speak because it's God speaking through you. The Holy Spirit filled bride. It's the bride speaking. Revelation. So let's look at a few examples of this in the scripture. As far as let's turn to Hebrews 4, the respect and the learning. And on the other side, we'll talk about revelation, that desire to hear. So Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is a powerful agency. It's a tool. Learning it causes us to be blessed, to be happy, to be Asher. Let's turn to Galatians now, chapter 1, verse 3. This speaks to revelation. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you. And he continues on. I'm going to pick up at verse 12 for saving time here. For I neither received it, speaking of the word of God now, the God of the word, revelation, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, destroying it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous in the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again into Damascus. 3 years, it says in verse 18. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode him in 15 days. So it was 3 years of revelation, of adoring the Lord, spending time with the God of the word. And then he would meet with the apostles. Now, this Paul would be telling Timothy to preach the word, to be ready in season and out. Preach the word. There'll become time when people have itching ears. Just tell me something to make me comfortable and give me peace. People are going to want that because they're self-centered and they're on themselves. But preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. You see the balance happening. Let's finish this morning with verse 2 back in Psalm 119. Looking at two things on balance here of the whole heart. Both are mentioned, the Aleph and the Beth, both sides, the Word of God and the God of the Word. The whole heart is mentioned. Verse 2 mentions it. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with thy whole heart. And then verse 10 mentions it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let's take a look at just those two as we finish today. Take a look at Nehemiah 10. It would be to your left a little ways, about half an inch paper. This is on the balance of the Word of God, respecting God, taking heed and listening, being obedient to it when you don't feel like it, not necessarily having emotions tied to it. This is on the happy side of our life, that we're simply committed. We're committed. We've made vows. We're committed to God to be obedient. Nehemiah 10 brings us to bear by putting him first, putting God first. The Word of God tells us this is what God wants in our life. It doesn't work when God is second. It just doesn't work. You're fooling yourself. You can spend years with God second, and you're fooled yourself. That's all you've done. God has to be first. Not tied with first. He has to be first, or it doesn't work. Nehemiah 10 brings us to bear with the first fruits of our ground, the first fruits of the trees, year by year, under the house of the Lord, the firstborn of our sons. Dedicating them to the priesthood, dedicating them to the service of the Lord. Your own children. That first one that comes out, you've got, I can't wait till he's a computer technician like me. No! God, this child is dedicated for you. That's putting God first. Chuck Smith, who's my grand pastor, I guess, I don't know, whatever you call it, but a lot of the teachings that I've been under is from him in the Calvary Chapels. But his mother had that experience. His older sister was dying. She had died. She passed. And she's carrying this kid around. This is a long time ago. And carrying this kid around, she went into a church. And wasn't a Calvary Chapel because they didn't start yet. Chuck Smith wasn't even born yet. You know, and she brings this this child that has passed, really. And she experienced resurrection right before her eyes. The child became alive again. She went right in the church. People prayed over this child. And her commitment was to that her next child would, do I have the story right, sort of, that would serve the Lord? And that was Chuck. And so you see the fruit of that. You know, it was like, I made a promise to God that my son is going to serve you. And it was like parent completely detaching, not only the umbilical cord, but all those attachments parents have. It was like, God, this one is for you. You know, so really cool story. But the firstborn even. But God needs to be first. And we're happy when he's first. We're Asher. We're blessed when God is first. We think it's a dry command. We think it's, oh, they just want this, they just want that. No. This is how you're designed. When you're trying to put a mitten on your foot, or you're trying to put a shoe on your head, it's not according to design. And that's how a lot of people, they're walking around with shoes on their head. Because they're not living according to design. When God is first, that's how we've been designed. It works. It just works. We're happy. We're Asher. When God is first. It's not a grievous commandment. It's just how we're designed to put him first. It really does work. So Nehemiah 10 continues in that. And let's just look at Acts 9 to get balance on this. And we'll finish there in Acts 9. This is Paul again. And we just learned that by revelation, the God of the Word was speaking to him. This speaks to the God of the Word. And this is a little bit earlier than that. This is actually his conversion process. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you killing my bride? Another translation might say. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the goads. God has been calling him. He's seen the witness of Stephen. Remember the teaching from last week, Stephen the evangelist. And Paul had that inside his heart, and he's been kicking against it. And he trembling and astonished, in verse 6 says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul's conversion is right there. Right there, verse 6. My life is yours. What do you want me to do? Putting him first. And this that word, Lord, what would you have me to do? The God of the Word. That personal relationship with him. The whole heart. Arise and go into the city and I'll tell you what thou must do. Your whole life has just been completely changed. Now you got a brand new thing happening. All things become new. This is the God of the Word. And this is what he wants for each one of us, to walk with him, to know him, to hear his voice. My sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. Very simple. All right, it's not complicated. So a good introduction to Psalm 119. We have much more to talk about as we pursue the rest of this particular song, balancing out the Word of God and the God of the Word and desiring to have a relationship with Him. So if you're not feeling that this morning, if it's not your place, if you can honestly say, Lord God, I'm not only out of balance, but I'm not even on that balance beam. The Word of God doesn't mean anything to me. It certainly isn't the first thing that I go for in the morning. In the God of the Word, you, God, Lord, you're maybe third or fourth or fifth or sixth. I believe in you, but you're not first in my life. Lord, that needs to change now. In this new decade, this new year coming up, Lord God, what a great time for something new to happen. But today is the day of your salvation. The Lord doesn't keep record of wrongs. He's buried it. He's the greatest barrier in the world. He knows how to bury stuff really well. And it includes everything wrong you've ever done. And the greatest agency of burial isn't dirt, it's the blood of Christ. Because there ain't nothing, there ain't no devil or demon that can take what's been wrapped in the blood of Christ away. He loves you. God loves you. He wants you to simply to acknowledge Him this morning. Allow Him to show you. Acknowledge Him as Paul did, the great apostle Paul. Lord, what do you want me to do? That first word, Lord. What do you want me to do? As the song is playing this morning, as you hear the melodies and the chords, all designed by God for your ears, all designed by God to work and minister to you, because you're a creature of emotions, a creature of mind, a creature of spirit, all designed by God because He loves you. Simply acknowledge Him, Lord, what do you want me to do this morning with all sincerity as the song plays in Jesus' name, amen.
Where you are, Lord, I am free. Your life down for a stranger.
Right.
Wow, beautiful.